be frustrating watching, as our vote told us the other day, the most popular athlete in pro sports in the state of Colorado shine on a nightly basis. How can watching or Colfax listening to this be frustrating for us?
Got to get some scoring. Good pump fake. And Jokic throws it down. Jokic for three. That's good. Take that for his 18th point here in the first half. Jokic going to try it again. Turn. Tough shot. Oh, my. Jokic, long range again. That's good. And under to Jokic, who puts it to bed for his 43rd point.
Coverage there, of course, courtesy of Altitude. There's Chris Marlowe on the call. Joker finished with 43 points, 5 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, plus minus. He had a plus 2. It's frustrating because you look around. All right, Murray had 25. He had 25. You know, I'm always talking about those other stats, though, Colfax. Well, he had 9 turnovers. And if your point guard, I mean, Murray was engaged scoring-wise last night, which I like to see if they can get him there. This is the thing. This is what I'm talking about on a daily basis on this show. I want to be right about Murray. I said it. I see it. Last night, I saw, other than the turnovers, Murray was in that strike now mode. You know, he made some headlines last week when he said, we're tired of of trying just to survive. It's time for us to punch back or punch first. It's time for us to strike first. I like that. And Murray's got to bring that mentality. He had 6 boards and 6 assists and 3 steals. So, I mean, take away the 9 turnovers, and I'm talking, wow, that's the help he needs. But for every good thing he'd do, he'd have a couple of turnovers in a row that were pretty costly. Now, this isn't about Murray. Murray was the second guy. Where was everybody else? Now, Facu Campazzo, I don't care who you are. It always sounds like I'm just cussing, huh? I don't care if you, get ready with that dump button. He's fun to watch. I've tweeted that before, and you guys come at me. Oh, he's fun to watch. People blow by him all the time. Do you guys realize, let me say, he's a rookie. He's a rook. He played overseas. He's an older type rookie, but he's an NBA rookie. The NBA is much different than the way they play over where he was. No question about it. And he even said he wanted to thank his teammates for being patient with him as he's adjusting to this style of basketball. It is. It's a different style here. He had 15 points and 8 assists. So he was okay. But the rest, Michael Porter Jr., 0-for-8. 0 points, Colfax. He had 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Are you giving up on Porter? When you watch him, when he's not scoring 30, he just doesn't. What is it? He just doesn't look the part. Even when he's scoring 30, you're like, how did he do that? And that's what's so kind of magical about this guy. His career so far is so absolutely entertaining. I find myself just watching him on the floor. And that's, again, when Joker's on the floor, there's magic happening out there. And it's great. I mean, this isn't an up-and-down thing with Joker. It's just flat-out magic. You got a 7-footer, Colfax. That's 16 of 23. Remember how much I complained when he just shot the ball 15 times last year? You're not seeing that anymore. 3-for-5 from the three-point line. 8-for-8 from the free-throw line. 6 boards. He's doing everything right. Now, some think, again, the body language between Joker and Porter, Joker towards Porter, he does look a bit annoyed. And I asked Mr. Dempsey about this, and we'll talk to him tomorrow about it. It does look like he's a bit annoyed, more so with Porter's mistakes than anyone else's. But there's a difference between Porter's mistakes and Barton's mistakes, who didn't play last night, and Murray's mistakes, and Campazzo's mistakes, and Jermichael Green's mistakes, even the rookie Zeke Nagy and R.J. Hampton mistakes. There's a difference. My coach, I bring up my coach a lot on the show, but Coach Stevenson, great dude. He once said, I'm not going to yell at you for a physical mistake. If you can't guard a guy because he's faster than you, bigger than you, stronger than you, I'm not going to yell at you. If you can't score because you just don't have that ability, I'm not going to yell at you. I'm going to yell at you when it's mental mistakes. When I know you're just not thinking. when I know you suddenly you're getting to showboat mode and you're forgetting the play and you think you can take a guy one-on-one when you're not even setting it up. Porter gets into this mode both defensively and offensively. I just think he forgets his assignment. He sees the ball. He creeps away from his guy. All right, I'm playing off my guy. They teach you to do that. The ball gets closer, and he just completely loses it. The idea of a good offensive basketball team is to penetrate deep into the basket so that when the defense sucks up onto you, you pass it away. You find an open guy. It's elementary. It's the easiest thing they teach you in basketball. If you're a stud, you try to penetrate to the basket, you suck in defenders so that somebody's open. Well, in the NBA, it doesn't work like that. People say the NBA are bad, they're bad defenders. Yes, sometimes that's true. But I also say that the damn good offensive players. Guys can make shots with hands in their face like you wouldn't believe. This is what they do. So getting a team to just lose their guy because, oh, this guy's dribbling up against me. I gotta leave my guy. I gotta abandon ship because Jaylen Brown's penetrating, and I gotta get up on. Well, boom. Porter does this more than anybody I see in the NBA. He leaves his man wide open. He forgets his assignment. Whether they're playing in a short zone for a moment, whether they're in man to man, he completely loses where he's gonna be. And then when he's not delivering offensively, he is a liability. Do you want him in late? I mean, he wasn't in late last night. I don't know. At that point, you just throw him in and you hope he can be a one-man comeback machine because that's what he's on the team for. He's in a weird slump. And when he's not scoring, he's a bad player because he's not a good defensive player. He has his moments on D. But it just doesn't look like the IQ is quite there for MPJ. So now a lot of people talking about trading Porter Jr. Well, now you're not. What are you going to get for him? You're not going to get anything for him right now. Dixon says Murray's turnovers were huge, but Porter can't go basically scoreless and not hit a shot. If he hits just a couple at those key times, the game might have been different. Boston kept hitting big shots when they needed to, and Denver just didn't. You're right. Denver had moments. I mean, they came all the way back. They tied it up. Then Boston kind of goes on a run there. But where are we with MPJ? Fun guy to watch. When he's rolling, but he's just, Colfax, he's just so out of touch with what's happening. I mean, okay, watch Jamal Murray, who I think we would all say is an average defender. Nobody's going to say that he's winning Defensive Player of the Year, but nobody says he's bad. Just watch the difference, though. Hell, watch Barton, who we've all talked about being an inconsistent piece to this puzzle for years to come, for years now. There is a difference. Watch RJ Hampton. Watch Zeke Nnaji, rookies. Watch them play defense. They might not always be in the right spots, but they don't look utterly and completely lost. I saw a tweet about this the other day that was basically, to play bad defense, you either don't want to play defense or you mentally are just not focused enough. And that mentally not focused enough can mean a lot of things. That you're not grasping, you don't grasp. You know, when to hedge out, when to show, when to double, when to help ball, when to cave down toward the hoop and get into the paint. I mean, you just don't get those concepts. You don't get the flow of the defense. Or you just flat out don't know where you're supposed to be. Or you forget. I mean, Porter, there was one great defensive moment. Denver's all over the place, and Porter just caves up, and they find his guy underneath the basket wide open. I mean, that's the easiest thing you can do. Or you just don't want to. I caught something, Colfax, and maybe I'm... What happens when your teammate falls down?
Pick him back up?
Yeah, what if you're like, from me to you, you know, a little distance, and I fall down pretty hard. Are you walking toward me, or are you kind of doing a little bit of a jog? Help me out, help me up.
A little jog.
A little jog, right?
Yeah.
I caught this last night. Campazzo goes down, and dude, if you watch the Nuggets, Campazzo's probably the hardest worker on the floor. The guy just works. So that's a lot of respect. Falls down pretty hard. He's pushing himself up. I see Porter walking toward him. He's holding the hand out, and Campazzo looks up, kind of like, and then boom, he just pops up. And Porter gives him a high five, whatever. It's a little thing I know, but it's like, I just don't see this oomph with Porter. I don't see this like, you know, I'm going to run over there, help my teammate out. I'm going to, when I grab this rebound, I'm smacking it, and I'm holding on to that basketball tight so nobody's getting it. When I go to the hoop, I am going freaking hard, which means I'm either going to dunk it in your face or I'm getting dunked on, or I'm getting blocked, or I'm getting fouled. I'm not going to go up and the ball just kind of, did you see? I mean, he's right by the rim. He goes up to lay it up. It just falls completely over the other side of the rim. It's just not strong. So, I mean, those are little things that I'm noticing. And again, running over to help your teammate out. I mean, that's sports. That's helping your team. Now, he just kind of walks. He's the only guy close to him. And clearly, and I know it's weird. I don't know. Maybe I'm making too much of it. But it's just a little thing that I'm catching that I'm just like, is Porter like, even on his worst nights, I want to see the hustle pick up. That's why I said Campazzo is so fun to watch. The guy could be 0 for 8. He could be letting, you know, just physically can't keep up with a certain offensive player, but he's going down swinging. He's constantly got his hands up. He's constantly looking, his head's on a swivel. He's jumping. He's trying to intercept a pass. I mean, he is putting energy out. And I'm telling you, if Porter could get some of that oomph, whatever that is, a kick in the, then I think he'd be something special. I want to see a hard rebound. I want to see when he goes up to rebound, Kenyon Martin style, I want to see a bam, I smack that ball against the other palm, and there's no freaking way you're bringing that ball out of my hand. When I go up, I am going to hurt you. I am going to create a reputation in the NBA. You don't want to try to block Porter's dunks because you're going to get an elbow to the eyeball. You're going to get a headache. Big time. He may not make it. He may bounce off the back of the rim, but that's what I want to see with this guy. I want to see it I want to see it on defense too. You might lose that battle, but you go down swinging. Don't let a guy blow past you just so you can try to block the shot. If you're that damn good, all right. Can be used to do that. He won a defensive player of the year, but you're not that good. You got a lot of work to do. You got to pay attention to the little things. And I don't know, is Malone not getting through to him? Is Malone not able to connect to him? Because maybe this isn't going to work. But you're not trading him today, folks. If you play the stocks, yeah, you sell maybe when things are going down. But you've also seen this stock in Michael Porter Jr. score 30 points. Like nothing. So you know he's capable. Texter, you won't like the comparison, but Porter basically gets paid to make threes like Vaughn gets paid to get sacks. If they aren't doing that, the rest of their game isn't really worth it. But to be really competitive, Denver needs Porter to knock down threes almost every night. They don't have a ton of other options after Joker and Murray. Porter's your best shooter, but I will say this. He is a pure scorer. He can be so much more than a three-point shooter. I saw against the Lakers, now not the one they won, the game before that, where they were in the game in the first half and they got knocked down in the third. But if you have that tape, if you recorded it, go back and watch it. Porter was cutting to LeBron was guarding him. And Porter, without the ball, was cutting to the basket. Was trying to get that quick, and Joker was finding him. We haven't really seen that again. Is that Malone? Is Malone basically relying too much on Joker and just saying, we're going to design pretty much 95% around Joker? And you can't necessarily blame him because he's the only one you can trust right now. But where is that cutting that we were seeing in some games? That's the thing. I don't know how much Malone doesn't want Porter to be involved, or if it's just Porter, he doesn't use his head. I mean, I think there could be a little mixture of both. But when I watch Porter, do you guys get a basketball sense from Porter? Or do you just get a guy that's like, dude, I'm in the corner, hit me. That's what I'm doing. I'm knocking down threes. And I don't think that that's his fate. I think he's better than that. Yes, he's going to make his money being a three-point shooter. But he's a hell of a rebounder. And when I say that, he's good at getting his body in there and jumping up for the board because he has his athletic abilities off the chain. He looks like he's not even trying. I guess that's my point. I want it to look like he's trying because imagine what that looks like. Imagine what an aggressive, pissed off Michael Porter Jr. could look like. That's what I want to see because I see Murray get pissed off and I see something different. You know, and I guess, again, what I'm saying is the ceiling is still very high for him. But I got to start seeing steps. Last night was frustrating. You know, and you got to find ways against a team like, well, Boston's an okay team. They're 500. They're expected to be better. You're on the road, whatever. But nobody else was really there. And again, Murray had 25, which is good. But the 9 turnovers were killer. Yeah, they were tough. Take those away and Denver wins. Take that 9 down to 2 and have Porter score 5 and you probably win that game. The biggest move in the offseason for the Nuggets was Jamal Murray becoming a superstar, carrying over what he did in the bubble, and Michael Porter Jr. taking that step to where Murray was 2 years ago. Porter's the same guy as he was last year. We're just seeing him more on a nightly basis. And Murray is not as good as he was in the bubble. He's about where he was last year. So you have both guys that reverted back to 2019, 2020 versions of themselves. And that's why we said, oh, Jeremy Grant, hey, losing him. Plumlee had a triple-double the other night. That was depressing. You know, Torrey Craig's rocking. And you're seeing Murray and Porter the same guys as they were last season. That was supposed to be the saving grace. Oh, well, it doesn't matter what happens with Jeremy Grant. It doesn't matter what happens with those other guys. As long as those two can take the next step, we're fine. They're not doing it. Now, Murray is starting to get in those 20s again, which is what I want to see. I don't want to see Murray average 19 points a game. I want to see Murray average 23. He's averaging 18.8 points per game. I want to see 22, 23. Porter, I want to see you get back up to, you know, I know you're young, and it was a weird year last year, but you're averaging 13. You know, you're a scorer. If you're that bad at defense, you need to be so blindingly good at offense that I look the other way on defense. And you know Mike Malone just looks like he wants to throw up when Porter's out there on defense, man. Gotta see it. Gotta see it. 22 minutes after the hour, a lot to get to. Yeah, you're not trading MPJ. The stock is not there. You're not getting anything. What are you getting for him? You package him? Okay. Somebody's got to be willing to take a guy that has a high ceiling, but man, it's going to take some serious coaching to get him to that next level. Got to get there. SCL Mortgage, great sponsor of this program. Check them out at myspecialmortgage.com. They're family and veteran owned. You've probably heard about interest rates. They're at all-time lows. So now's the time to get rid of any consumer debt that you have. Car loans, credit cards, student loans. That interest is not tax deductible and your house payment is. That's SCL Mortgage. Check them out at myspecialmortgage.com. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Is Von Miller gone? Is he done in Denver? After what we're seeing today from ESPN, Mike Kliss, all that, odds are probably number 58. Hall of Famer, first ballot? Talk about that next.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
All right, here's a better one. I think you and I both agree Von Miller is the first ballot Hall of Famer. Whose career would you rather have, Von Miller or J.J. Watt? J.J. Watt was a 3-time Defensive Player of the Year. 3 times. No Super Bowls. Made it to the playoffs a couple times. Whatever. Vaughn has never been a Defensive Player of the Year. Several Pro Bowls. Pro Bowls they've both been. They've both been All-Pro. Whatever. But he won a Super Bowl, and he's a Super Bowl MVP. Whose career would you rather have?
Got to go with the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Yeah, and he was an MVP in it. If he wasn't the MVP, do you change your mind?
No.
I mean, because if you're like J.J., I mean, to win in the Defensive Player of the Year 3 times, yeah, that's pretty big as far as winning that award. Rarely does a great defensive player play at the highest of level 3 times in a season. I mean, or 3 seasons, I should say. He can play at high levels, but you're talking he's the best defensive player in the NFL 3 times. But yeah, it's about winning the Super Bowl, right? First ballot Hall of Famer, though. Ring of Famer, all that stuff. But it sure sounds like the end is nigh for number 58. First Advantage. Text line 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that number, and you'll get involved. Dixon's saying, no way would they trade him. His stroke is so pure. Denver's always needed that threat from there, from three, that can knock it down and get hot. Yeah, he's the best. Porter's the best scorer on the team. I mean, outside of Joker, right? He's the best pure shooter outside on the team, even above Joker on that. But right now, it's in his head. It's in his head. I do think he's going to be more than just a three-point shooter, though. I just hope he can get a little bit better defensively. That's going to be the thing. Can you get a little bit better on the defensive side? All right, going back to this, we've talked a lot about it. Everybody has, the whole Deshaun Watson. I'm not on the train. I like Deshaun. I think he's one of those elite players. And can we stop? Can I give a gripe real quick here? You know my old argument about the Hall of Fame, right, Colfax? If it's not obvious, you're not a Hall of Famer. Can we stop throwing the phrase unicorn around? Because everyone, you know, unicorn is just like a rare player, like Jordan, Kobe, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. That's a unicorn. I keep hearing radio, TV, newspaper outlets calling Deshaun Watson a unicorn. It's not a unicorn. Is Josh Allen a unicorn? Because if Josh Allen's not a unicorn, Deshaun Watson's not a unicorn.
Josh Allen's a workhorse.
Josh Allen's a buffalo, Bill.
That too.
Yeah, but there's a difference. Is Russell Wilson a unicorn? No.
No.
You can be a Hall of Famer and not a unicorn. Is Patrick Mahomes a unicorn?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He gets his own room.
He gets his own room. He gets the unicorn room. There's like all these quarterbacks like, la, la, la. They're riding around on unicorns in there. It's a great room. It's amazing. It's beautiful. I'm sorry, guys, but I like to be a little bit I don't know. My demand is a little bit higher. I'm not throwing out. They used to call Kristaps Porzingis a unicorn. Nikola Jokic is a unicorn. The guy can do everything. Everything. And his defense is getting a little bit better, too, by his hand movement. Just the way he used it. Yes, Joker's a unicorn. LeBron James is a unicorn. Kevin Durant is a unicorn. Luka was getting close to that, but he's taken a step back. You need to prove your unicorn status, and Deshaun Watson is not a unicorn. Tiger Woods was a unicorn. The rarest of the rare, the greatest of the greats. Is Aaron Rodgers a unicorn? I need to see unicorns work miracles, and I need to see unicorns raise their team to that next level. And yes, they do have to have some help, as we're seeing with Joker and the Nuggets. But bottom line is the Nuggets are still a playoff team right now. They're still doing all that. And it's basically on the back of one man bringing it every single night. They are a playoff team because of Nikola Jokic. So when we talk about this whole unicorn thing, you got to be strict with it. So we're saying Deshaun Watson's a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback. Well, I thought Patrick Mahomes was a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback, and Lamar Jackson was a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback, and Josh Allen was a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback, and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, all these once-in-a-lifetime quarterbacks. Well, clearly, it's not once-in-a-lifetime. We got eight of them that you're talking about, man. Deshaun has great numbers. Amazing numbers that didn't elevate Houston. They made it to the playoffs over a year ago, lost to Kansas City. The year before that, wasn't that the year they went to, I'm blanking out. How many years now have the Houston Texans been to the playoffs? But I guess I just get frustrated with this whole idea that Deshaun is like this once-in-a-lifetime quarterback. Is he? I mean, Patrick Mahomes. And now, listen, I don't even know if I'm trading everything away for Patrick Mahomes today. Because Mahomes has proved it, right? And they're building around him and all this stuff. But, I mean, the idea that you just trade off three first-rounders, two second-rounders, one third-rounder, and a player or two. Like, we throw that around like it's nothing. You know how many players that is? And Brady, it's a crapshoot. The draft, and it is. The draft is a crapshoot. But now the Broncos, if you look back at their first round picks, they're starting to make it. All right. So they made the playoffs back in 2019. That was when they lost to Kansas City. They beat the Bills. They made it in the wild card round to Indy, and they lost there. And then before that, I think Deshaun's been to the playoffs twice. And then last year, and I agree, Houston's a train wreck. They absolutely are, but the Broncos are a train wreck too. And they have work to do. Both sides, Houston and Denver, trying to figure it out, trying to get this right. But you're sitting here acting like, oh, Deshaun's that good that he's just going to come over here and fix this situation. Well, you didn't fix the situation you're in now. And this is a bad situation. And no, I'm not putting all of my hopes and dreams on Jerry Jeudy, on KJ Hamler. Tim Patrick's probably not a Bronco next year. So no, forgive me if I'm not just right off the bat ready to go. So Deshaun has played three seasons in the NFL, and his numbers are crazy. You know, his second year, his second real year, because his first year, seven games. His second year, he threw for 4,100 yards, 26 touchdowns, nine interceptions. 3,800 yards the next year, which again, okay numbers. 12 interceptions to 26 touchdowns, so two in a row. And then this year, of course, he threw 33 touchdowns, seven interceptions, 4,800 yards. He was awesome. He was all that team had. Those are amazing numbers. But we got to be careful not to just throw around the whole unicorn thing. You know, he's a unicorn. He's a once-in-a-lifetime guy. There's one guy in the NFL that is like a current unicorn as far as the quarterback position goes. That is Patrick Mahomes. Tom Brady is no longer a unicorn. He can no longer do exactly what he did in his prime. Can he still win you a game in a fourth quarter down four with 2 minutes left? Yeah, I think he still has a game or two like that. But yes, he's going to rely at this point in his career, he's going to rely on a lot more. You know, and Mahomes, we saw in the Super Bowl, okay, that was rough. But at the end of the day, guys catch some of those passes, man, and he's making highlight reels for centuries. Some of those plays when he's like dodgeball Ben Stiller mode going across his body like that, he's getting the ball to their hands and they're dropping it. That's just stuff you can't, I mean, that's amazing. Steph Curry is kind of a unicorn. There's a few more unicorns in terms of NBA than you see because of that sport lends itself to that, right? But, you know, there's like one guy, it's Patrick Mahomes. That could be in that status. So, no, I've talked about this a lot. And then as far as people saying this, Colfax, well, you know, the Broncos first round, they're just going to screw it up anyway. Let me do a quiz with you, Colfax. We'll go back since it's Von Miller doom day, I guess. I'm just going to ask you quickly, you know, first round picks, just right off the top of your bat, as of right now. You can't say, oh, well, we got to see, whatever. I'm going to ask you. So we're going to go all the way. I'll start it in 2011. Bust or not? Von Miller.
Boom.
Okay. Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah.
Sylvester Williams.
Yeah, no.
No. He's still on the team. They got him back in a weird way. Bradley Roby. He's a tough one because he was a part of the no-fly zone, but he wasn't the starting corner. He was that nickel and dime guy.
And then he came back, right, and didn't really do much.
Yeah, we got hurt, and then he kind of came back. Yeah. That one's tough for me because without him, do you have the no-fly zone intact? Because he was a huge part of that. Because now, he was drafted in 14. Nowadays, having a third corner, a third top corner, is not strange at all. So I don't know where you are.
Yeah, we can say it worked out.
I agree. I don't think it was a bust because he was a part of your legendary defense. Shane Ray.
Yeah.
Got lucky with that pick because they found pot in his back seat, so he dropped and they picked him up. And I was like, holy crap, we got lucky for a little bit of pot. We'll take it. Didn't work out. Paxton Lynch.
Yeah.
Big time bust. Garrett Bowles.
Heck yeah.
Just proved it. You're only as good as your last season. He's the best offensive player on the team, and he's the best left tackle in the NFL right now.
Worked out.
Bradley Chubb.
Yeah.
Yeah, bust right now. Noah Fant.
It's definitely not a boom.
So a bust.
Yeah.
Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, no.
All right, so There's no in-between ground there, and we're not really...
I guess not. I would put Chubb maybe like it's working out. I don't think it's the end of the world there.
Again, if Chubb was drafted in the second round, we'd be fine.
Yes.
If Noah Fant was drafted in the second round, we'd be fine. If Jerry Jeudy was drafted in the second round, we wouldn't, you know, it'd be fine. But, yeah, I mean, you have a lot of we gotta see, which is better than complete bust. Jerry Jeudy is mad that I think there was a station in Denver that said he's a bust. He's mad at that. Well, according to your pick at number 15 and your performance last year, you're a bust compared to where you're drafted. That's the bottom line. So, I mean, in Bradley Roby, he was picked. I always kind of viewed him as a second round pick because he was picked 31st. All right, we got to take a break here. We're well overdue. Yes, there's a few busts on this list, but there's some hits here. And so you're telling me between Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant, Bradley Chubb, Garrett Bowles, all these picks, that one out of three is not going to land? If you were a betting man, Colfax, would you put $50 on either Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant, or Bradley Chubb in 5 years for you to go back and say, that worked out?
Absolutely.
So if you trade those three picks, you are getting rid of that 1-3 shot, even the 1-3 shot. So if you trade three first-round picks away for Deshaun Watson, you're not going to even have the... Because I'm telling you, man, if I pick three guys in the first round the next 3 years...
One's going to hit.
One of them's going to hit. And Denver, unfortunately, because Elway struggled with drafts, it was really one out of four with Elway. But the whole reason we're bringing George Payton in here is because he's supposed to be better at drafting. So Denver, it was one out of four. Garrett Bowles and Bradley Chubb, we don't know yet. But so far, one out of four. Garrett Bowles has been a hit. Bradley Roby was a hit. Von Miller was a hit. So, yeah, you're closer to one out of three. So you're going to give that up for Deshaun Watson. And if George Payton is as good as we say he is, then two out of three should hit. Be productive. And you don't have to be the best defensive end in the history of the NFL to not be a bust. You just got to be good. I got to see 10 sacks from you next year, Bradley Chubb. Noah Fant, I got to see 60-plus catches and getting close to, you know, 8-10 touchdowns from you. Jerry Jeudy, I got to see 80-plus receptions, and I got to see you flirting with 1,000 yards, and I got to see you flirting with 10-plus TDs. That's what I got to see. I don't need you to be leading in the league. A lot there. A lot of what-ifs still, but yes, for right now, doesn't look as great. But I'm willing to take my chances on young talent coming in. And no, Deshaun Watson is not a unicorn. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
All right, that's a good poll question, Colfax. We'll put that up at thehullshow.com. Who has a better chance of not being a first-round bust? And we'll just go the last three. Is it going to be Jerry Jeudy? Is it going to be Noah Fant or Bradley Chubb? Who would you say has a better chance of not being a first-round bust? Now, again, I'm not talking about you got to go on and be a Ring of Famer or Hall of Famer. I mean, I'm counting on a first-rounder to give me at least five solid years of production. Going Bradley Chubb?
I'll go Chubb on that.
I mean, people forget, Chubb had a really good rookie year, 12.5 sacks. After that first year, you weren't saying he was a bust. You were saying, damn, it's pretty good. I like that. The team was just so bad. It was hard to remember. But then the next year, he played four games. So Chubb is not a bust right now. I mean, he could be. But he's like half and half. Rookie year. Now, he made the Pro Bowl this year, which, okay. 7.5 sacks. He played 14 games. Noah Fant. Pat Shurmur's got to utilize him better, I think. And again, this goes back. I'm not a big Pat Shurmur guy. I wasn't excited about the hire last year. But I'm with you. I go Bradley Chubb based on what I've seen. Noah Fant started to show us some of those signs this year. Jerry Jeudy, I got to tell you, of not being a bust, if I'm voting of as far as busts go, yeah, I think it's going to be Jerry Jeudy between those three. I mean, Garrett Bowles proved to land. That landed. He's got to keep it going, but it's landed. He earned a second contract. So maybe that's the way you measure this.
Earn a second contract.
If you earn a second contract, you've obviously been good enough, and he made some money. So, yeah, you got to earn that second contract.
I like that.
And if you do that, then you're not a bust. If not, yeah, move on after 4 years because I realize you just weren't worth it. All right, 48 after the hour. What's on the tube tonight? Nuggets are back at it. You know, that's the beauty of the NBA. You just got to wake up and get right back at it. When we come back, we'll get closing thoughts, get the poll question up and running. Who has a better chance of not being a first-round bust? Bradley Chubb, Noah Fant, or Jerry Jeudy?
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency, Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights. Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
All right, so I'm changing the poll question, Colfax, to who has a better chance of being a first-round bust, not of not being a first-round bust, of being Bradley Chubb, Noah Fant, or Jerry Jeudy. Maybe that's better. Who do you think of those three guys? Now, Bradley Chubb, I guess we're eliminating for you. Who do you think has a better chance of being a first-round bust between Noah Fant and Jerry Jeudy? The upside's got to be there for Jeudy as far as great player, but what about bust?
Consistency, I don't know. I think Jeudy might be the more bust-worthy.
Yeah, because of the way we talked about it. Now, again, you might say, well, who was the higher draft pick? It's funny because they were all five away. Chubb was number five. Well, no, Jeudy was 15. So he's not that far from where Noah Fant was. So, I mean, Noah Fant was 20. So, I mean, as far as saying, well, you got to look at where they were drafted because more pressure is going to come on them on that side. Not necessarily. I mean, because you're going to... They're pretty darn close. I mean, five picks away, you're going to say that. So I say, but I do say Jerry Jeudy, because again, I saw more with Fant in the first year than I did this year with Jeudy. But this is why when you grade draft picks, you know, people always give you a hard time because you can't really grade a draft pick until 5 years down the road. You know, at least until you got to see a body of work. Because it's not going to be based on, oh, well, they drafted him. We know what he did in college. That doesn't make any sense. How did he do at the next level? So that's our Power to Play Sports poll question. It's available now at thewholeshow.com. Who has a better chance of being a first-round bust? These are the last three first-round picks by the Broncos. And the whole reason we started talking about this, because, again, you're talking trading three first-round picks to Deshaun Watson. And odds are one, probably two of those guys are going to be, I mean, would you say, like, would you bet on one of those, like, would you bet on Bradley Chubb and Noah Fant to be long-term Broncos? Talking second contract, which could be whatever. That could be they're here for 5, 6, 7 years.
I want to say definitely Chubb.
Yeah.
And probably Fant.
Chubb's already going on a fourth year. Yeah. So, I mean... When you talk about that, you're talking about guys that are going to be a part of your team for a while. So it's easy to just throw away first-round picks, but none of those guys, and I know we did our little exercise based on right now, but I think you could make a case that none of them would be a bust. I mean, Jerry Jeudy, again, I am very very interested to see how his career turns out. But the speed, the athleticism, it's all there. For him, he's just got to hold on to the ball more. All right, tonight, it is a Wednesday night. We get the block party on KFKA tonight, starting at 4 o'clock with preps midweek. Denver taking on Washington. Back-to-back games for the Nuggets. Taking on the Wizards. Now, not a great team. They have some star power, though. Who's going to be the Robin to the Joker's Batman? Wait, that doesn't make any sense. To Jokic's Batman tonight. Can Porter pick it up? Can we see 0 points or can we see 30 tonight from MPJ? How about Jamal Murray with another 25, but minus the turnovers? That's going to do it for us. We'll be back on a Thursday, my Thursday night special. Don't forget. Good night, Northern Colorado.